My beloved people, the first thing this morning is to apologize for the fact that we forgot today's bulletin. And somehow or other, for the first time, we left our bag at home, and so everything that we needed was in it. So those things happen in the best of families. Other than that, I do not know of anything in particular that needs to be brought to your attention. The eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears upon their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, I think sometime when we hear words of that sort, that we don't really give much consequence to them, and that we look upon them as being probably just more words, 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 and that they are being uttered by someone of past ages, someone who was surely not acquainted with life as it is today, with life in what we call the fast lane. And therefore, we go by this on a Sunday morning basis of just simply reading something no more than we would read anything else that might have been written in former times, and that we give no more importance to these than just that. And as a consequence, I think also that we might come to think of God as something of a former age, and that really, under the present circumstances, that we are above and beyond the necessity, or certainly being responsible to someone who is not of here and now. We go through life, but that does not keep us, however, from going up every alleyway that is incorrect and that is wrong, and that we overlook the fact that we are really not responsible for what we do, and that we have to answer primarily to ourselves, and if anything at all, if we have to answer to anybody at all, that we have to answer to society, or to our fellow men, or to the other members of our family, leaving God out completely in any consideration of what comes our way. We put more importance on answering those about us, we call them society, of course, than we do answering to God. Now, we have to answer ourselves a very serious question. What will take place when we finally close our eyes in sleep? Is everything over at that time? Does everything come to an end at that time? Will I cease to experience at that moment? Will I cease to think at that moment? Will I cease to see at that moment? Will I cease to feel or touch at that moment? Well, all the senses that I am capable of at this moment right here and now, seeing and touching and smelling and eating and talking and whatever, will this all come to an end at that moment? Not exactly. As a matter of fact, my seeing, my hearing, my thinking, whatever else, will be sharpened at that moment. And actually, my seeing at this present moment is impaired. My thinking at this present moment is impaired. My hearing, everything I do at this present moment is impaired. But we think that we are at the peak of our abilities here and now. We have not peaked. We're far from peaking. We're at the bottom of the mountain. The mountain is ahead of us. And it is at that peak of the mountain that we see, finally, when we close these flesh eyes of ours in sleep. And if we think that suffering, I'll change that for the moment, if we think that pleasure at this moment is at a high peak, we're very wrong. If we think that suffering at this present moment is at a high peak, we're ever so wrong, because we're not taking into consideration that we are not coming to an end, and nothing will come to an end. We'll only be freed from this imprisonment that we're in here and now, either to enjoy as a reward or to suffer as a punishment. And if we think that the present suffering is beyond our ability to cope, you know, when there is a solar eclipse and you want to look at the sun, you have to take a piece of glass and smoke it so that you can look. We are looking through that kind of glass at reality. We're not seeing it. We're not seeing it at all. And we go about our lives as if there is without, it's recklessly, as if there is nothing at all, no connection between us and some kind of being to whom we are responsible, to whom we have to answer, and who is not going to listen to our shenanigans when we approach him. We look at God in this fast lane life of ours, I think, sometimes as a matter of convenience. We do something, we know it's wrong. We don't need anybody to tell us that it's wrong, what we have done. But somehow we want to make things right, and we think that if we run to him almost as a convenience, not because we are sorry, because we have offended, rather that if we say something to him, it'll make me feel better. I've done my part. It doesn't work that way. Not at all. God is not my personal convenience. God can only be insulted by that. And today, when God is of no consequence, and he isn't of any consequence, we need to redouble our effort to prove to him that we, at least we, can see him as he really is. God is not my personal, private convenience. And the sooner I get that into my thick skull, the better will my relations be between him and me. I cannot go through life. I simply cannot go through life doing all of the various things that I do and they are legion, and expect God to pat me on the head and say constantly, time after time after time after time after time after time after time, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, you've been a nice little boy. I'll overlook what you've done. It doesn't work that way, folks. And when we read, as we read this morning just a moment ago, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to the average person today, a statement of that sort means absolutely nothing. If there was a line in a comic strip, that would mean more to us who live in the fast lane. God did not put me here to do as I please. God did not put me here to make myself the center of my concern. God did not put me here to turn my face away from him. And that's what I do every single solitary time that I play judge over my own activity. Because it stands to reason that if I am going to be judge over me, that I am going to overlook everything I do. And it doesn't work. I am not the final judge. And society is not my final judge. I am not going to be brought before a board of society when I leave this place. That's scary. The problem today is that we have lost all concern concerning hell. If there is a hell, according to our present standards of observation, if there is a hell, it really can't be too bad after all. And I will not worry about hell at this time. I've got other things to do that are far more important than hell. We speak of eternity. We don't think much about eternity, do we? We think it's probably a long time. Because we put ourselves up as our own measure in everything we say or do or think. I may have said this before, and if I'm repeating myself, well, please forgive me. But we now are approaching the millennium. There's a whole lot of hoop to do about that. You know, if it were possible, as we measure, try to get some idea of what eternity is, and not think it that it's something like 40 or 50 or 60 years that we live here on this earth. If it were possible for a tiny sparrow to go to the Atlantic Ocean and take out one drop of water in its bill and do this once every 1,000 years. When he empties the Atlantic Ocean, eternity will just be beginning. And by the way, how many times has that sparrow made the trip since the birth of Christ? Two times. And we dare to stand up and turn our face away from God. Who do we think we are? Social position, money, politics, power, all of this will go to the grave with me. And they will bury all of this with me. And my power and my abilities and my personalities and etc., etc., etc. will become nothing when I am dead. The only thing that matters is the principle that is in me, which will live for all eternity. But this is our last consideration. We think that, well, these last two or three, 4 weeks, this last year or two has been pretty difficult with me. I think I need a change. I think I need this, that, or the other. My dear people, my dear people, my dear people, so, as we now are progressing, the year is well spent, and another year is about to go by, another century is about to go by, another millennium is about to go by. Are we better or are we worse at this time in the page of the history of man? Just look at what we have done. Look at what we do. Look at how we evaluate things. I am not the one to place evaluations on the commandments of Almighty God. I am not the one. Only God can place the evaluation on the maintenance of those commandments. And He is the one who put them on me, and I must obey. But the Ten Commandments today, they're not even a good joke book. A comic strip is of greater importance than the Ten Commandments of Almighty God. Let us examine and see just how much these Ten Commandments have affected my way of doing things. Have I been affected by the presence of these Ten Commandments? Have I obeyed them? Have I even thought about them in my life? These are harsh words, and I know they are. But it comes time, it's all right to speak of the coming tribulation, the this, the that, and the other. Let's forget the coming tribulations. Let's forget the coming storm. That's unimportant. Storm or no storm make no difference. The only thing that makes a difference is where am I when those storms take place? What is my condition when those storms take place? And do I think that after having lived a life, it's not worth talking about? when I am in the presence of that storm, that I can always think that I can go and run to my convenience and say, oh, hi, God, look over what I've done. I didn't mean to do all those things. Do we think for one second that that's going to work? Let's not fool ourselves. Let's not fool ourselves. As we live, so shall we die. And that is that. Do we understand it? And the greatest tragedy that could possibly come to me in my span of life is for my God to turn his face away from me. 10,000 deaths would not be equal to that. God bless you. God keep you. Let us pray for each other. Let us never fail to do that. And let us refer ourselves to God constantly. And let us tell God, yes, Lord, I have sinned. I am a sinner. And I will do all in my power to change that. But just as anything else, if we've made that statement, then we should mean it, and we should do something about it. And we should be able to see change taking place, not just for 2 or 3 days, not for 2 months, not since my last confession, but from here on out, change has to be evident. God has to know for certain. And when I say I'm going to change, I mean it. And he will see evidence of that. If not, then God's not going to take me time after time after time after time. I'm not speaking of weakness, my dear people. God understands weakness. I understand weakness. You understand weakness. I'm speaking of things that I walk into with my eyes wide open, and walk into disaster time after time. This is what I have reference to. God bless you. God bless us. We have much work to do. And the salvation of one's soul is not a matter of simply saying, I want to save my soul. There's a little bit more attached to that than that. It is not easy to save one's soul. It is not difficult to save one's soul either, if God is holding both of my hands in his. God bless you.